It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
A tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
It's the most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Royalty,
let's not pay our bills for next month.
So we can all get through this together.
We are live.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends. Great to be with you every Saturday from 10 o'clock. Joey, Jay, Rosie and Emma. Oh, morning team, and aren't we excited because we finally have a date where we're going to see footy back on the box.
Yes, good morning, Emma. Morning, Rosie, Jay. You're right, footy's going to be back. Finally, we've got some confirmation. We've been waiting a while, and June 11 is the day. So we can now count down, Jay-Z, and look forward to some footy returning. And all the players will be back at it Monday, back at the clubs training hard. And, yeah, can't wait.
Certainly going to be exciting, especially maybe late next week if that fixture's released. It'll be interesting to see how that first phase of the draw will play out. But wasn't it nice to be finally let out this week? I mean, from Wednesday, we were able to socialise with our friends, or up to five, I guess. Joey, did you get let out? Did you go to Rui's house?
I was let Wednesday night and last night. Yep.
Oh,
It's a bit like COVID. It's sort of all going to happen in a cluster now because everyone... Everyone's keen to have friends over at once. So yeah. I had went to a friend's place Wednesday night, sat around the fire and had a few, and then same thing last night.
Yeah.
So it was nice to catch up with some mates, have a few glasses of red and just, chew the fat.
We did the same on Wednesday night with a group of mates, but it was, I felt for the bloke who was actually hosting us because it got to about 1:30 and he sort of looked at us all. Any chance your blokes are going to leave at any point? So we were all settled in for a nice night. Did you get out, Em? Did you catch up with your friends?
We had four people over for dinner last night. So, you know, six adults around a table is something we haven't done for a long time, which was nice. I didn't cook. We just ordered pizzas. That was easy and nice and great to do. A couple of bottles of red, a few beers. Everyone very happy. Again, got to 11 o'clock and I'm looking at my watch going, guys, I've got to work tomorrow. Like, you know, please leave my residence now. Yeah. There's all kinds of chat going on. It's amazing what people have started to think about in isolation. My sister-in-law, she came up with the concept last night that she's putting a compost bin in the backyard. Like, what has she been doing with this time over the last 7 weeks?
What do you think happens with at birthdays? You know, when people blow out the candles on their birthday cake, will that be gone forever?
Because of the spitting and the blowing and God knows what.
Oh, good luck trying to stop kids from blowing out candles.
My grandma always made us use a card and wave it rapidly over them.
Really?
She was one of those grandmas. Oh, no. No spittling on the
spittling,
Actually, special plug, Emma. I want to say, speaking of birthdays, I just saw before, and it's a good reminder, Emma Wiggle is throwing a live birthday party on Instagram at 11 o'clock this morning. So if any parents are in the cars and you want to maybe surprise your kids, I think it's at Best and Lest is the Instagram page, but Emma Wiggle is throwing a live birthday party. You can live stream it. So there's something.
Don't people love her?
She's kids a ripper. My little boy's in love with Emma. Mm. Yep.
Hey, tell you what else is a ripper is our show today, because our special guest this morning is Adam Gilchrist. As we reminisce about one of our favourite ever sporting moments, Gilly, one of the heroes of that one. Find out what it is soon. Hamish McLaughlin to join us as well about his new series. It's called The Last Time I Cried. Boys, have you seen the promos for this? It is so incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I watched the Campbell Brown interview. Very powerful indeed. So looking forward to chatting to Hamish about that, getting to see a different side of a lot of athletes.
Jay-Z yesterday at Marvel Stadium, it was great to see CEO Gil McLaughlin in front of the media announcing that the game would be back on June 11, training to resume Monday for all clubs.
A nice crisp haircut from the CEO to mark the occasion. We saw he looked a little bit more nicely pruned. Now, he's done a great job. I mean, what was it, Wednesday night when we found out that Adelaide and Port Adelaide couldn't play in their own state? For the turnaround between Wednesday to Friday yesterday, I think was really good work from the AFL, and it shows how well prepared they were for different scenarios. So they deserve to be congratulated, I think, for the work they've done. But from here, it's all pretty clear, isn't it? May 18, clubs return to training. The full contact training begins on May 25, and then June 11, the first game of round two. We expect that to be Collingwood Richmond. The first phase of the draw, as I said before, will be worked out over the next week. There's going to be some blockbusters, if that's the right word to use, early, because the AFL want to really regenerate that momentum quickly, Joey, and get some real excitement around some of those early season games, and then try and maintain them from there. But I think the really big discussion point, and where all the news in this will head over the next 48 hours, will be the really tough conditions around the players and how they're going to basically be safe or stay away from the infection throughout the rest of the season. Now, you've played, Joey, obviously 287 games. You know, how difficult is it for a player to be able to maintain the focus, their mental health, etc., yet not be able to have their mates around, not be able to, you know, perhaps go to the shops as freely, to get away, if you know what I mean? They are going to be absolute hermits for the next 6 months.
This is going to be, it's going to be fascinating, because these are young, active men who want to be able to socially, even just little things like sitting at a cafe or catching up with friends, going to play golf, surfing. They like to be active. It's going to be really difficult. Yep. I know there's been a lot of talk about players going to the hubs and how hard it's going to be at a hub. In some ways, you could almost argue being at a hub might be a better option. Like these South Australian teams will go to a resort on the Gold Coast, and from all reports, because it'll be secluded for just them, they'll be able to play some golf. They'll be able to socialise together because they're all safe. Where these footy players will go to the football club and then literally have to stay in their home for the it's going to be extremely difficult mentally for these players. It's going to be the biggest challenge, I think. There's a lot of talk about the lack of contact work before playing and, you know, the risk of injury, which is significant. But the mental toll it'll take on being so disciplined, and the fear factor, because there are going to be harsh penalties. Gills flag that. There's going to be different levels of if they do break protocols, whether it was intentional, reckless or careless. Even that stress of if they know that they're doing something that maybe they shouldn't be and they get caught, and it's going to be really interesting. And I mean, I think we've got to expect a couple of blips. There's going to be a couple of players that aren't going to be able to do it perfectly, but they've got to try as best they can for the health and safety of not only themselves, but the community.
And you can use your imagination here, but how's it going to work with girlfriends?
I don't know.
Living partners is a different situation. If you live with your family or if you're in one of those teams that has to relocate to the Gold Coast, you can take your family with you and you live in a hub. But if your girlfriend or your partner lives in a share house,
there are a lot of young men in their early 20s that have girlfriends that don't live with them and have kids yet. I mean, there's maybe a handful of players that have got families. The rest are all young men that, you know, have got girlfriends or...
And what
or
if you've
God
just,
knows what, actually.
Just what if you've just met this person?
Yeah.
And the AFL compliance officer comes around, does a risk assessment, and they say, look, does anyone else...
She's sitting on your couch tonight, you know, she hasn't had the testing done the last
week. Where's she been?
Yeah. So their girlfriends are going to have to be subject to the same testing, clearly, or any regular family members. It is going to be really difficult. And I tell you what, good luck. Good luck to the bloke who stuffs up.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. The anxiety for that player. They are going to be splashed all... They could just be doing... I mean, you know, they might break the rules and they would get caught playing golf or sitting at a cafe or something that's pretty generally innocuous.
Really.
But in this situation, it's going to be the first person. He's going to be front page paper and there's going to be all this talk about them. And it's going to be quite anxious times for the
players. I can't wait to talk about the actual footy again. I think in the next couple of weeks, our conversations will change a little bit as to who's playing and the positioning and all that. Because we have been banging on for about 2 months about if we will play or not and the various ups and downs. But who do you think in the hub situation this could favour, Joey? Like, I think that Brisbane are really well placed. They don't have to go Perth. They're going to be up there in Queensland, play some teams up there and then go to Melbourne. I think any team generally which cops West Coast and Freo early doesn't have to make that trip west.
Yep.
And Port Adelaide very tough to play at home. If you get Port Adelaide and West Coast early at your own home ground, be it in Queensland or in Melbourne, I think you're well placed. Have you got an early read on
We're not going to know. We're not going to know because, as we've seen, home ground advantage all of a sudden doesn't really mean much anymore because of no crowds. There's going to be a lot of factors like, you know, the workload and the injuries and the conditioning players are in. So it doesn't matter if you're playing West Coast at your home ground, if you've got players that are, you know, deconditioned and haven't handled the workload. So there's so many factors to go into it. To be honest, we are all going to guess. We've got no idea how teams and players are going to handle coming back into football.
Just lastly, will the Premier get an asterisk? I think this season is a huge mountain to climb. Like, I think that it'll be so tough for the winner, and absolutely credit to them. I don't discount this Premiership win whatsoever. Do you?
I still don't know. It depends. If there's no crowd and you win the grand final, you win a Premiership at the MCG late October with no crowd.
Yep.
I don't know if it'll be as fulfilling as it would be, obviously, winning it in a normal situation. So does that mean it's an asterisk? It won't in the record books, but to the player, Will it be the same level of achievement and fulfillment? Mm. We can't answer that. I don't know. It is going to be a fascinating season. Mm. We must admit, because we do not know how it's going to pan out.
I think for the fan as well, Joey, you know, if you're a massive supporter of any which club and you win the premiership,
St Kilda win their first flag, since 1966.
Happy days.
Happy days, but would it feel the same?
I don't think it would.
Don't know.
But I'm happy to be, my mind to be changed, especially if Essendon's making that top four this year. You never know, right? Pigs could fly.
There are some things husbands just shouldn't do.
Erin asked me to dye her hair this week, and yes, I said, no.
Yep. That's one of them.
So that's all I'll say.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Well, you may have seen a couple of promos online about Hamish McLachlan's new series, The Last Time I Cried. It goes something like this.
I think that's one of the things that kept her alive. And she got to see my sister get married as well.
In a new content series for the AFL, we ask some of the game's biggest names one simple question. Tell us the last time you cried.
A total release of, yep, this is real. He's gone. He's not coming back. And what's next?
It was tears of joy. It was the rawest of emotions.
It's an extremely hard pill to swallow.
Brother, that was when I was in a really bad place.
Made the decision to get someone to help me get through that time. I can honestly say if I didn't, I don't know what would have happened. I don't know what would have happened next.
The Last Time I Cried, brought to you by AIA Vitality.
Yes, yeah, some of the biggest names in footy telling some really heartwarming and heartbreaking stories to Haim for some very powerful TV, and he joins us now to talk about it. Welcome, Haim, and congrats on the series. I actually teared up watching the teaser. Some of those boys, you know, just having that release to talk about some of the most powerful moments in their lives was, you know, powerful for me and many people to watch.
Morning, Em. Jay, Joey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's pretty different, isn't it? You know Campbell Brown very well. He was the first episode that was released on Monday. And, you know, to see him cry talking about his mum was, it was hard to do the interview. But, you know, I showed my wife Zoe and the kids, and we went through, we've done 9 episodes, and we sat down, and they're all about 8 minutes each, and we watched them over 2 nights. And, you know, Zoe, she was crying, but, you know, the two kids that to understand a bit about life and death and hardship, they're emotional too. So the concept that I'd wanted to do for a long time, and sometimes, you know, good things come out of bad situations. And I guess that's what's happened out of COVID, is that we got an opportunity to do a few things that we would never have done. We filmed a few before Christmas and then filmed a few more just before we had the lockdown. And there's sort of, without the football, some platforms that are happy to show it.
Hamish, I think you've really mastered the art of being able to get these raw emotion and answers out of people, even with your Herald Sun interviews that you do so well. What do you think is the secret to getting some raw responses from people, even not just as a journalist, but even just say as a friend and you want to have a really in-depth conversation with another friend? What would you say is the key to being able to get raw answers out of people?
Joey, I think it's twofold. One is asking the questions that are often really delicate and a lot of people dance around. But if you understand that everyone's human, everyone's emotional, everyone's got issues, then, and you address them. I mean, there's not, you know, M, you, me, Jay, Gil, mum, dad, all of our parents. We've all gone through things that have made us cry, have hurt us, have flattened us, have got us on the ropes. And, you know, historically, I don't think we've been very good at talking about them, whether that's depression or death or heartbreak. And I just, over the last 10 years, have sort of seen the mood change. So the one thing is, are you prepared to address it? And I think if you have got trust with people, then, you know, that's the key piece. And if you're not going to break that trust, they're happy to talk. But the other piece, I think, Joey, is listening. So I'll go into those chats. And with Brownie, I knew that he wanted to talk about his mum. There's no scripts and there's no research. It's like, let's just have this chat. And with I rang Paddy Dangerfield and I said, I shot him Brownie's raw cut. And I said, would you do one of these? He said, yep. And he turned up and we just filmed it in a warehouse. I wanted to do it just sitting in a warehouse on 2 milk crates, but the milk crates were too low. So we had to bring in some chairs. I just wanted no makeup, wear whatever you want to wear, and let's just talk like we would at home. And sort of, I think it's really disarming. No lights, you know, no big sets that, you know, I remember reading Michael Parkinson. He said, when my guest comes in, they're already terrified. They've come through a door that's slid open to a big band and a huge audience and lights, and there's cameramen everywhere. We've sort of stripped all that back. Paddy Dangerfield came in and just sat down, and I said, "Paddy, when was the last time you cried?" And he said, "Round 15, 2015. I said, "When was that?" And he said, "That was 10 days after Phil Walsh died." And he just went through the whole Phil Walsh story. And then Tom Boyd sat down and talked about how in middle of, I think it was 2017, that he was at home. He said, "I was getting paid $1 million a year. I had a beautiful girlfriend who's now my fiancée, got a new dog who I love, living in a house I couldn't dream of, and I just wanted to do terrible things to myself." And, you know, so then you start talking. And, you know, like you and I, Joey, have been down a fair stretch of road together, and you and I just talk, you know, in corridors and alleyways. But sometimes you think, oh, we wouldn't have that chat on air. But, you know, why wouldn't you? And I think it's really helped. We've been, Brownie, and I think I'm not breaching any confidences here, but during the week he got texts and emails from players that are playing in the AFL now that he's never met, just saying, "Thank you, that was great." And from the public, just finding his email address and on Insta. And I think people are resonating with it. And, you know, there'll be a lot of guys listening saying, "Well, what a crock, I don't need to hear when the last time you cried was." That's fine, no worries. But it's not about crying. It's about just sharing stuff and opening up and accepting your vulnerabilities.
Hamish, your interview with Anthony McDonald Tibbin Woody in the Sunday Herald Sun remains probably the best thing I've read. I think of that story out all the time. You are an absolute expert at this. How important is it for our footballers and our sports stars generally to be vulnerable and to show a side of them which doesn't necessarily fit that machoistic, you know, football type club environment? You know, how important is it to say it's okay to open up?
Well, I think, Jay, it's okay. I mean, you talk about the footballers and the sports stars, really important, but I reckon it's really important for us all. So my wife and I, you know, we have all the same issues as every couple, but the more you sort of talk to each other about, "I'm really bad at this, this really hurts me, this is an area that I'm really weak on," it just makes everything easier. You know, Soph and I had a massive blue during the week, and I just admitted fault and said, "This was, you know, I'm not good at this, I need to be better." And as opposed to pretending it's not your fault or you're good at everything, it just makes life easier. Yeah. So I think, you know, you refer to Anthony McDonald, Tippin Woody. He's wanted to talk and allow people to understand his journey. And I think since he's done that, and yeah, and it's whatever and whoever, once you say, "This is where I'm fallible, this is what is worrying me, this is what makes me emotional," suddenly there's a weight lifted. I remember Koch, we did one with Koch, and he said up until the end of 2016, remember, he got the captaincy at 22.
Yeah.
He thought that he had to have all the answers. And if he didn't, then, you know, he was a weak captain and a weak male, and you're supposed to be this strong alpha male that can answer all the questions. Then he realized he actually didn't need to know. And then suddenly the whole of the weight that he was carrying was removed. And they've had this amazing success since, because he goes, "I don't know the answers. I really don't. But let's try and work them out together. And if we can all do it together, then we'll probably find the right answer." That sort of wisdom of crowds piece. And it's just been a weight lifted off of his shoulders. So you say, Jay, the sports stars, absolutely. I think, you know, just because they play sport at an extraordinary level doesn't mean they don't have all the same issues we all do. But, you know, you say sports stars, it's like, I since I've sort of got my head around the fact that it's okay to be completely imperfect, which we all are, it's like, God, life's easier.
Yeah. We could talk to you for an hour, Hamish. Let's be honest. Oh. I love chatting with you. Just quickly before we let you go, we got to go to an ad break. But how well has your brother done over the past 2 months?
Oh, it's been an enormous battle. I try and speak to him every sort of 72 hours or so just to check in. Sometimes it's for 10 seconds, sometimes it's for longer. And I know him pretty well, sort of known him all my life, to be honest. And I don't know that he's ever been through a more challenging period. I know that he's the one thing that he's very good at is when things are really bad, finding a way through. And I say that from a personal family perspective. When, you know, mum and dad separated and things got very messy and I had a very, very sick child, he's always the one that steps up and gets it right for everyone. And he, you know, I don't think he'll have a more challenging period in his life. You know, there's hundreds of millions of dollars that are vulnerable and at stake. There's 800 players that, you know, their careers are at stake. There's all these people working at every level across the industry. And, you know, that's essentially his responsibility to try and get right. And, you know, it's just such a moving beast. Every day things change. You know, we thought we were all the way, and then Western Australia said X and Y. South Australia did A, B and C. I mean, there's, you know, all these states and territories. Your question is around Gil. He's going as well as he can, but But I spoke to him last night just for a few minutes. I said, oh, well done today. Your hair looked good. And he said, yeah, that's really important. But he said, you know, we've made a lot of decisions, but now all the really tough stuff starts. Yeah. You know, all we've done is lay down a sort of a framework and a template. But, gee, so much can change so quickly. Mm-hmm. We'll play it by ear.
Well, I tell you what, we're with him. We think he's been absolutely sensational the last couple of months, and he will continue to lead this game in great fashion over the next few months as the season pans out. And you know what, Haim, congrats to you as well, because as we've said all along this chat, the series is absolutely brilliant. You can go and watch it on the AFL website and AIA Vitality as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think all the AFL Insta and AFL.com. A new one comes out every Monday. We've got Tom Boyd, then Gilbert McAdam. I said to Gilbert, when was the last time you cried? He said, brother, I've been crying all my life. And we spoke about racism and how his life's panned out. So I hope you enjoy it. But yeah, go to afl.com.au or the Insta page and you'll see them go for about 8 minutes. And I really appreciate you taking the time.
And can't wait to see you back on the box when footy resumes in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks for your time this morning, Hamish.
Thanks, Sam. See you, Joe.
See you, mate.
Joey, there's plenty of things happening around the world in the world of sport at the moment as resumption is on the cards for many codes, but there's also a couple of big stories kicking around.
Yeah, absolutely. Daniel Ricciardo, that was a big one during the week. He's moved to McLaren. So I know his dream was to get to Ferrari, but hopefully with McLaren, he can have a little bit more luck and a bit more success than he has previously. So that was pretty big. And, of course, the supercars relaunch their championship on June 27 in Sydney. So some of the motorsports starting to get back in action. And, of course, the NRL, all over. May 28 definitely go ahead now. The fixture got released. And it looks like potentially Melbourne Storm might have won, if not the first two games, at Amy Park in Melbourne.
Yeah, so they've got Saturday the 30th of May. The Storm are going to face the grand finalists in the Raiders, which will be a cracker. And then Friday the 5th of June, they're taking on the Bunnies. So both of those could be at Amy Park. They're still TBC. All of those games, the first 2 weeks of the resumption of the NRL season, are venues TBC. The other big story, I guess, in the NRL this week has been the vaccination stuff and whether players are, you know, getting exemptions for having the flu vax. That seems to be maybe all sorted out now, but nice to have a clear path ahead for the game for the first 2 weeks. And as they will with the AFL, they'll reassess in, you know, probably after round three of the NRL and go, okay, where do we go to from here? How can we make this all work again? And what will the next 4 to 6 weeks of the season look like?
And, of course, they've locked in the state of origin as well for the three Wednesdays in November. So that's there'll be sport right up till the end of the year this year. So state of origin will be in November.
Everyone who plays in Queensland from an AFL perspective will also have to have a flu shot in line with Queensland regulations. Yep. Do you think that'll be okay with everyone?
I think it should be a problem. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, no problem.
I think now we've all just got to, you know, get on with it, and you know, we've got to have a flu vax.
That's the way. If you want to play, it's what you got to do. Absolutely.
And I guess if there was any, you know, amazing reason why you wouldn't, I think that'd be considered.
Yes.
If there had it to be a special exemption.
Yes.
That would have to be considered if there was a medical issue or something.
Have you been watching the Jordan Docker? I'm sure you have. The Last Dance. Everyone's talking about it.
Only one more Monday. I'm so sad.
I know, it's come up so quickly. But what have you made of it, Jay?
The best sports documentary I've seen. The last, 3 or 4 minutes of episode 8, where he talks about him being so ruthless in his pursuit to win, how he sort of didn't make many friends in his basketball career. It was very harsh on his teammates. I love that. I watched it a few times. He starts crying at the end because, you know, he says, you call me a tyrant. That's because you've never won anything, that kind of stuff, which was great. I have been, one thing that has been missing in this documentary is probably the lack of storytelling around his own family. He's been significant around his father, which was emotional, who obviously passed, but nothing around his kids or his ex-wife, which is clearly deliberate. But I'd be interested to know how he married that relentless training regime, et cetera, and his sporting pursuits with his own family and his two boys, I think he has. So that's probably been the one missing link for me so far. I wonder if that plays a part.
Tell you what it has done too. Hasn't it made smoking cigars seem cool? We might have had a cheeky shared a cigar last night. We had a few reds with some friends. You know that scene where he's in his locker room and he's got his baseball bat with that cigar in the mouth he's talking about
how
it's easy to give lip when you're up, but when it's 0-0 is when a real man can, you know, give a bit. It was real alpha male stuff, wasn't it? It was real. Everybody loved that scene. It was just,
Never seen anything like it.
When you were on the playing field, did you hear a lot of talk when early on in the game, when scores were level?
No.
Or was it always once a team
exactly
was four
right.
goals up?
It's always generally the yappers yap up when they're winning late in games. You very rarely had someone confident enough to get in your face right at the start of the game. I mean, Jason Akimanis was probably someone who could do it and back it up with his performance, but there were very few in the AFL that do that.
GWS youngsters, sort of your Toby Green, Devin Smith.
Yeah, they had a bit of confidence, yeah. And they, early days, they weren't winning, but they knew they were good. That was their issue, and they've backed it up since.
I tell you what, the favourite thing I've learnt about MJ through this whole series is how he can get himself up for those big games by creating fictional scenarios in his head. That is something else. It's a bit sick, to be honest.
Yeah. It is a bit sick, isn't it? Absolutely.
Didn't BJ Armstrong enjoy the spotlight when he had one good game against his former team?
Well, that's other people's claim to fame. They beat Jordan once and they're like, I beat him that day. Yeah. I'm going to remember that.
Classic.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Thanks for joining us, legends.
With Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
He's just the most random human you'll ever meet.
Are you still applying your aftershave?
Yes, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Thanks for joining us.
That on air.
What was that? Which department did that emerge from?
I was just pretending to have a sleep. I didn't know the mic was on. So.
Oh, goodness. We've got a big second hour coming up. A big thanks, though, to Ream. We've teamed up with them to bring you Talentine. So Ream want to know what your secret hidden talents are that you've discovered during quarantine and isolation. You can film your hidden talents and this could be really interesting with our listeners. Enter now on the Triple M win page for a chance to win a share in $10,000. It could be chipping a golf ball around the house, singing, or something amazing with your pets. Again, this could go anywhere. Enter at triplem.com.au. Thanks to Australia's favourite in hot water.
Can I ask Joey, what's your secret?
No,
what have you got?
I was just thinking that.
Anything in particular?
No. Erin showed me how to make an espresso martini with her new coffee machine. Ooh. That was probably about it.
That's a good one.
I don't think anything. What have you made of all those like TikTok things? Do you think they're funny or are you a bit like...
Flat.
Yeah. I haven't done anything like that. There's no secret talents.
Our mate, actually, on Wednesday night, he said, are you into this TikTok? Have you seen this thing? Like, I'll show you this really funny one. And we're like, we're not into it, but let's have a look. It was the worst one. It fell that flat.
Yeah.
Actually, this is true. Can you explain to me, if anyone knows the TikTok, do you actually copy the routine live or do you have to rehearse it and practice and then
try to rehearse.
It? Do you?
Right. Well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't have the TikTok.
No, I've never seen it.
Like, I don't have the Tinder and things like that. Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Hey, in our house during the week, Jay-Z, we had to get on the phone to you at one point because my husband, who is a staunch Charlie. Adelaide Crows fan,
love him.
had a skinful on Sunday night. Yep. I think he'll admit he was blind.
Yep.
And news came through on your website, The Herald Sun, that Adelaide were at risk of maybe losing draft picks, or at least, you know, the fine was not just going to be financial for them breaking codes on the Barossa golf course. I tell you what, he was flipping out, but now that it's all been sorted and done and dusted, are we happy with the penalty that's been dished out to the Crows?
I thought it was really lenient. It was extremely lenient, I thought. I mean, we talked about a fine, but Joe, you quite rightly pointed out in our discussion that what was the point, because it was only going to be AFL money anyway. But for it to be lumped on one person, Ben Hart, the six-week ban, the player's got a suspended sentence, which means nothing. I mean, they would have breathed a huge sigh of relief, the Crows, but we didn't say, Emma, they would lose draft picks.
Yeah.
I guess it was reported elsewhere that they would lose draft picks. Our story said that they...
Sorry.
That's all right.
He thought it was from you, though.
They wouldn't. So, I did notice the urgency in the tone of the text message. That might be him texting you right again.
It was a bit of confusion. What did you think then would have been a fair punishment? If you're saying it was extremely lenient, we agree you couldn't really fine them significantly because of the financial situations.
And it couldn't have been draft picks.
You couldn't suspend 16 players for a game because they might not have been able to field necessarily a side for the first game back. So what did you think would have been fair?
I still thought there was a fine in it with a big suspended fine, I guess, as part of that. You know, is there also a slap across the wrist of some of the senior figures at the football club that are able to oversee this sort of error? I mean, Matthew Nick said that Ben Hart wasn't there when the breach happened. Anyway, I think they were they would have been pretty happy they got what they got. But the next club who makes the same mistake won't be as lucky, I would think. Yeah.
Or if the Crows make another mistake, watch out. That's not going to be a good one. Every week at the moment, we are taking a look at one of our favourite ever sporting moments to relive. You know, the ones where you remember where you heard the call or you watched it on the telly. We've had some beauties and this week is no different. It's 1999. We're in the UK. The Cricket World Cup. Let's start with the dramatic semi-final. The Aussies up against South Africa in a thrilling finish.
Kuzner on strike. There it is. They go. This will be out, surely. Ah, it's out. It's going to be run out. Ah, that's out. South Africa out. Donald didn't run. I cannot believe it. Australia go into the World Cup final. Ridiculous running with two balls to go. Donald didn't go. Kuzner come. What a disappointing end for South Africa. What a match for our viewers right around the world.
And what a win for Australia that then faced Pakistan at Lord's in the final. And our special guest today was the hero of that day, Adam Gilchrist. Welcome to Dead Set Legends.
Oh, good morning, team, everyone, and all the listeners out there. Yeah, great to be chatting. Great to be reliving some of these old memories. That's a beautiful thing about all this lockdown and no sport. All us old ex-players get to relive our past glories because there's nothing going on live. So it's awesome. Long may it continue.
We found that everyone has been particularly enjoying reliving some of their highlights, but that's great. We love reminiscing them about them as well. Let's start with the semi-final, though. So in terms of how that played out, you made it through to the final because you finished higher in the group stages, I guess.
Yeah.
How did you know that on field? Like, how did that all pan out? Because the run out was the way to win that game and for South Africa to be bitterly disappointed.
Yeah, there's a lot to sort of talk about in and around that particular game, isn't there? We did know we would go through if we had a tie because we had beaten them in the previous game, which was the last round of the what they called the Super Six stage. That was a game, the famous game where Herschel Gibbs dropped Steve Waugh after sort of basically having the catch. And then Steve Waugh reportedly said, "You just dropped the World Cup." I don't think he said that, but he's something along those lines. But he let the myth grow bigger and bigger for many years, Tugger. But so we knew they needed 9 runs off 6 balls in that last over in the semi-final, South Africa, 1 wicket in hand. I still thought we're home here. Kluzner gets off strike, we get Alan Donald on strike and we win the game. Their number 11 won't get them the runs that they need. But the first 2 balls race to the boundary like tracer bullets. So it's a 4. So they needed 1 off 4 balls. We fumbled a run out off the 3rd ball. So at that point, we thought, well, we did have a chance, but it's bolted now. There's no chance. But there's something called communication in life and in sport, and you've got to have a lot of it, particularly in team sports. Yeah. And Alan Donald and Lance Kluzner forgot to talk to each other. They didn't come down and in the panic and all the mayhem of the, you know, World Cup semi. They just didn't relay to each other what the plan was. And one ran on the next ball, one didn't, and then history unfolded that we get the run out, we tie the game and go to the final.
And Gilly, let's not play this down. You were the man in this moment. So the fielder tosses the ball into you at the keeper's end, obviously, and you have the most second important underarm in the history of cricket down to the other end. How were you feeling at that moment? Was there anything go through your head as you prepared to toss the ball down the other end? Oh. Because you went a safe route along the ground.
Well, 2 things in my mind. Damien Fleming had the ball at the bowl's end, but both batsmen were at the bowl's end. So you're right. All it's got to do is get to me at the keeper's end, effect a run out, and we are in the World Cup final. Flemmo decides to take on the technique that we did at the team building exercise at the start of the tournament, the old 10-pin bowling team building. And most sports teams have been 10-pin bowling together at some stage. We had the Julios versus the Nerds.
Yeah, that's
Fleming,
right.
Fleming's captain of the Nerds. But he turns, and rather than just get it down to me quick, he underarms it.
That's
and it felt like, it felt like about 5 minutes it took for the ball to come down to me, but it's just rolling, rolling, rolling. I'm waiting, hunched over for whether to lean forward and grab it or, you know, potentially break the stumps there and stuff the run-up out. But anyway, I get it, whip the bales off. And then funny things happen, don't they, in big moments. Immediately I thought, right, I want a stump as some memorabilia. Mm-hmm. You know, we all want to collect memorabilia in heaven. And I thought, I'm going to rip all the stumps out and keep all the stumps. So I run past the team in the middle of the pitch who are celebrating, to the bowler's end and rip out all the stumps. And I think, hang on, I had three sitting in front of me at my end. But anyway, I've got a stump down on the wall in my bar, and everything's good. And we ended up in the final.
We're chatting, of course, to Adam Gilchrist. It was the brain fade of all brain fades. And it was a shame for Lance Klusener, because that's really, for a lot of us, what we remember.
Wasn't that sympathetic, though?
We remember, but I feel for Lance Klusener, because he actually had a wonderful tournament. He was the player of the tournament in that World Cup. But it's been overshadowed by the calamity that happened in that final ball.
Yeah, he was unstoppable. I mean, this is, yeah, what's this, 21 years ago. So for people listening, he was scoring a strike rate of about 120, I guess, which in T20 terms now, that's almost slow.
Yep.
But 21 years ago, it was unheard of. And he was coming in, they'd need 10 and over for 8 overs in games, and he'd just get them home with a few overs to spare. So when he needed one run off four balls, I thought, well, this ball's going to go, you know, out of Birmingham over to Manchester, the way he's hitting them.
Yeah.
But he just, got to give credit to Flemo. Flemo managed to jam a couple of really good Yorkers in there and create those run-out opportunities. But that was, yeah, it was a bit of a shame for South Africa and Lance. And then, of course, 3 years, 4 years later, they got knocked out of a tournament on a net run rate when the rain was falling, when they blocked it out. But anyway, that's their problems. And
yeah,
I'm sure,
exactly right.
I'm sure on their radio shows, they're not reliving these games.
But pressure just shows what pressure does, Emma, and that's why we love sport, because how people handle the pressure.
We've just talked about the famous semi-final up against South Africa. Now let's talk about the final. You're at the one of the most famous grounds in the world, Gilly, for this. How did you prepare to face Pakistan?
Yeah, that's right. Well, all the drama and emotion of getting into the final after the nail biter in the semi, I think there was a little bit of a fear or discussion around about, certainly externally, or had we played our final, you know, had we peaked, and can we continue to sort of rise to the occasion? Because it was a pretty scrappy old World Cup for us. We just sort of fought and clawed our way through to each stage. We lost a few games early that meant we couldn't lose another game, but we found ourselves on the big stage, what better place to do it? We knew that Australian teams historically, more so in Test cricket, but had played really, really well at Lords, so we carried a lot of that history in with us, knowing that there's a lot of sort of pride and honour at stake to uphold that. So that picks you up, and let's face it, if you can't be up and about for a World Cup final at Lords, you're never going to be, you probably haven't got a pulse, but we went out there. I think we didn't overdo celebrations in that semi-final. You didn't need to. Like, the emotion was just pretty raw, and that carried you through. It was a tight turnaround too, from memory, 2 or 3 days at best. So it wasn't like we had a week-long build-up for the final. All of a sudden, we were into it. We were bowling first, and then, what do you do when you need some magic? You throw the ball to Shane Warne, and he did the same in the semi-final. He picked up 4 wickets there, and he picked up another 4 in the final, and just put us in a pretty much dominant position to go out in there and knock the runs off.
I was going to ask you about Warney, Gilly, because they're right, the semi-final and the final took 4 for 30, I think, in both games. But we spoke to him the other week about his gatting ball, but I heard somewhere that you thought he's one of his wickets in the semi-final against Herschel Gibbs was almost a better delivery. Can you just describe that one for us?
Yeah, on par, I reckon. Yeah. I reckon you're right. I had the best seat in the house for 10 years, keeping Shane Warne. So I saw, most of his deliveries come down. And I reckon he bowled often deliveries very similar to the gatting ball, but didn't go, didn't have a wicket pinned on the end of it. Yeah. So it didn't get replayed as much. But in the semi, Herschel Gibbs, he bowled, bowled one to Gary Kirsten, the South African as well. He got Hansi Konya out. He broke the game open and kept us alive in the semi, and then in the final, he just produced the goods again. Not so much the big turning leg spinners at different surface, different conditions, but I think a few sort of straight ones or sort of flippers that went through and might have been LBs or bowls. But the biggest occasion, the biggest superstars turn up. We've had the week with Warney on Fox Sports this week.
Yep.
And I tell you what, that's given a little bit of an insight what it's like living with Shane Warne and standing next to him. That was the best thing. The best thing in my life, in cricketing life, was to wicketkeeper Shane Warne, okay?
Right.
The second best thing was then at the end of the over, Glenn McGrath was coming on to bowl the next over. So that's heaven. And even better, I go up and stand next to Shane Warne. And Joe, you know the bloke.
Yep.
You've spent time with him. I'd stand next to him and listen to his stories for an hour. That's sporting porn.
Yes, you've had a blessed sporting life, that's for sure. Gillian, congratulations to you on your own tournament, because after a scratchy start, you described that Australia lost two of their first three and then come out and won the next two, and you top scored in both of those games, I think, against Bangladesh firstly with 63 and then possibly the West Indies, I see here, with 21 as well. So you certainly helped right the ship. But can I ask you about overnight, this feud between Shane Warne and Steve Waugh has exploded again. Real or imagined? It's hard to know. But the guy, Rob Moody, on Twitter, he's posted that Steve Waugh was involved in 104 runouts over his international career, and the bloke at the other end was out 73 times in them. So Steve has left his batting partner short a couple of times, it's fair to say. And then Shane Warne has said that Steve Waugh was the most selfish player he ever played with. And we know there's been some friction with him over the time. Were you aware of this throughout their careers? What was that like in the locker room?
Yeah, that I think everyone's been aware of it. And I noticed Warne put out a tweet saying, clarifying to everyone that he doesn't hate Steve Waugh. He just thinks he's the most selfish player he's ever played with. So, it's just clear black and white there from Warne. But it's funny that should spark up, that issue overnight or this morning, given that, we're sitting here talking about the 99 World Cup, because there was a bit of friction leading into that 99 World Cup. Prior to going to the UK, we were in the West Indies on a tour, and I was only in the one-day setup then, but in the Test series, obviously for the last Test match, Steve Waugh and Jeff Marsh, as tour selectors, left Warne out of the Test team. Ooh. They dropped him for the fourth Test. So that, I think it was in and around there where the friction started. Warney's spoken about it in his books, and that's where that they started to have a little bit of a prickly relationship. But we still played another four. When did Tugger finish? 2004, didn't he? We still played another 5 years, all of us together. Mm-hmm. And it never affected the team. It never was spilled over in the change rooms or there. I do not remember any confrontation between the two of them, be it on field or off field. So if Warne had felt any strong animosity to Tugger, he certainly, and this is probably digressing a little bit, but a lot of people go, what about Warne? His profile was so big, his personality, did it really ever affect the team, all the drama off the field, the front page headlines in the UK and all? And the answer is no. Like, Warne was, he was extraordinary. He was box office in Hollywood, but I don't ever remember sitting back thinking, geez, we've got to get him on track because it's having a negative effect on the rest of us or what we're trying to achieve as a team or whatever. Like, he just got in and got the business done. And so too did Steve Waugh. So, that's an interesting one. I had a look at the first two runouts on Rob Moody's list of, he has got some serious lockdown problems, doesn't he? To compile 24 hours it took him to compile this list of runouts to achieve what, I don't know, a comment from Warne. But I watched the first two, and they were the other bloke's fault completely, and they were, both of them were number 11 batsmen, so you might as well run them out anyway before they do it themselves. Extraordinary stuff. But anyway, that's isolation.
Yes.
Hey, Gilly, to finish with, so you win the World Cup in sensational fashion in the end. I know that Jay-Z always likes talking about celebrations post a big victory.
I do.
And you did mention Shane Warne. Who was best on for those post-match celebrations?
I'll tell you, that's a good question. I'll tell you who was best on ground. A little bit poor teamwork by this bloke, but as you'd imagine, an Australian change room at Lord's after a World Cup victory, every man and his dog's trying to pile in there. Any Aussie in the UK, anyone that happens to be at Lord's, trying to get past the security guy to get in. We've got friends and family. It's going great. And then ex-Prime Minister, he wasn't at the time, Bob Hawke.
Really?
The late, great Bobby. What a legend. So he cruising. I remember going out, we were walking off the field through the long room after we bowled Pakistan out, and we were springing our step, 130-odd, we can almost get our hand on the trophy. And we walked through the long room, which is packed, and right at the point where you turn and go right to the change rooms, Bob Hawke's standing there. And he's going, oh, he goes, Tugger, Tugger, and he's patting Tugger on the back. He goes, Paul Rifle's in front, he goes, Rice, Rice. No one's ever called him Rice. It's Pistol, and that's it. And then he sees me and he goes, Gilks. No one's ever called me Gilks.
Ever.
But anyway, we were having a chuckle at that. We get the runs. We're up partying. Next minute, knock on the door. Oi, Bobby walks in. Bobby walked in, and I kid you not, him and his entourage hammered every last beer we had.
Oh, God.
They just smashed us in our beer. So we had to get reinforcements in. And, of course, the reinforcements that came in weren't the sponsor's product. So Darren Lehman got photographed drinking a non-sponsored product and got fined by the Cricket Australia.
Oh.
And we blame Bob Hawke.
Yeah,
we blame Bob Hawke. Yeah.
Oh, that is a ripping story to finish our reminiscing of the 1999 Cricket World Cup. Hey, Gilly, great to have you on, mate. Really nice to talk about these really memorable times, and we're glad that you enjoyed talking about them as well.
Yeah, good on you guys. Good to chat.
Thanks, Gilly.
Without sport,
the world's gone mad.
Yeah.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends ask the big questions.
Just tell us about these college parties.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Boys, I tell you what, someone has waltzed into the studio he's looking a little bit angry and a little bit fearsome at the moment. Billy Brownless, you are filthy at this team because our tipping has been deplorable over the last couple of weeks and you've unfortunately been on them all.
Yes, you're right. And what's your surname, Em?
It's Rundle now.
Rundle
yeah,
Moore.
No. Yeah. I know. Oh, I've been terrible. I admit, mate.
I tell you what, Joey Lee leaves the paper at my desk as he walks out because we're on after you guys, of course. Lovely warm-up too. And he circles all these horses that are going to win. Do you reckon he'd get close one week? Just get a bit close, Joseph.
Hey, Jay, you like my little random country tips. I've been getting winner after winner. Donald last
Where's
week.
Where's Donald?
Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. West.
But it won. It doesn't matter Central where West. It was. It won the other week at Chatura. Don't worry about Chatura. Wherever it was, Ararat, or wherever it was the other week.
Your race won. You picked an outsider. And it comes second.
Yep.
It led and then comes second.
No. So that was devastating.
Seconds. I'm not here for second.
Last week, my one tip for the day is we said the Donald race two. That got up and won.
Yep.
And I've got another one up my sleeve.
Have you?
But I'm not telling you.
Mm. Oh, good. I don't want it. Because I've come with plenty of winners today.
Of course he has. Here he is.
Flemington, race three. Get your pens out. I'll give you a bit of time at home.
Here we go.
Get your pens. Get your form guide. Righto. Here we go. Yeah. Race three, number six, November Dreaming. Bang.
Okay.
What do you think, Freeds?
Yeah, you got Danny O'Brien training in sensational fashion at the moment. I like the price of $390, Bill.
Yes, get on that. And then, of course, go straight to the Melbourne Cup when this wins. Can you pronounce it, please? Race six, number two, Joe?
King of the Agrons.
This thing has been smashed in all week.
Yeah. That looks like a good bet, that one.
Say it again.
King of the Agrons.
Oh, you're French.
Oh, how would you say it?
King of Legrants.
What about wrinkliest, Bill? Have you nailed that yet?
No, I was trying to say it in my sleep last night. Wrinkulous. I can't say it. Did you hear that joke, Ems?
I didn't, mate.
What's the wrinkliest thing on your grandma?
Oh,
I like this.
Your grandfather.
Wrinkliest.
It's hard to say. We're going to Morpheville because there's some good
going
wood.
To SA.
The good wood.
Race three, number seven there.
Right.
Okay.
Symphonette or something.
Oh. Jeez, you're picking short price favourites, Bill. Like, I mean, it's not hard to do that.
And all right, let's go to the big one. The what's race seven called there, Joey?
Is it the Goodwood?
No, it's not the Goodwood.
No, the one before that, isn't
it? One before that.
Oh, the R.A. Lee Stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harbour Views, which is
$2.
Oh,
come on.
For God's sake.
No, all right, we'll go to the Goodwood too, which is a great race. Any of the top four could win that. But we're going with Behemoth, number nine, with a bit of odds.
That's a good one at odds, right. Mm. We'll hold you to that one.
And then to win in the last Street Icon, there you go, which is number five. So there's all the winners there. That's all you need. Friedman will give you none. What about you, Clark? Any chance?
Well, I normally let these two steal the show on the horse racing front, but I want to ask you about two, Santa Adelaide and Sunlight. They have huge followings, these two horses in Melbourne. Can you give us a price here, those two?
I think Santa, I mean, he's an amazing sprinter, but I just have a feeling he might be out of it this prep. I think he's probably done his dash.
Sunlight?
And Sunlight, she was disappointing last start, so I think she might be out of it too. If I'm having something in the Goodwood, I agree with trekking, but I'm also in the other Godolphin runner for Anthony is Liar, and I think she's a great type. She's been
Emma
running really,
Liar.
Really well this prep. Yeah.
We all lie. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we do.
Is that the best race ever?
Ever?
Is it South Australia's best race, the Goodwood?
Yeah, yeah. And I reckon this edition of it, Bill, is one of the all-time greats. You've got probably the top five of the top 10 sprinters in the country competing in that today, which is unreal.
They don't have a lot of good races. South Australia Cup's no good.
Mm. No, it's not. The Oaks isn't very good. The Derby's not great.
There was a pub to go to watch them today, yeah. but not yet. We have to sit tight.
I tell you what.
When's yours going to open?
We've got to open soon.
Yeah.
Restaurants have got to open, cafes got to open, and pubs got to open for our community, for our hospitality industry. Mm. It's very important. Plus, I need a beer somewhere. Yeah. Wow, I'm sick of drinking at home. Went to the laundry last night. Jeez, that's boring.
We're going to have to pick this up because sometimes our conversations in here
are better than there. Drift.
Oh, this is not going to be popular.
Speak for yourself there, Joey. I was just saying to Rosie that Powderfinger are reforming for a one-night lonely.
Next Saturday night, 7 o'clock, I believe, on their YouTube channel.
Which I think would be great. That's sort of my prime time, Joey.
I was a fan.
You're interested. We all know Powderfinger these days, all that sort of stuff. And you've got a set against Powderfinger, Emma. Because
I just think it's so sad. Life's grim. Like, la, la. Like, Bernard, realise life's good, mate. It's all good.
Cheer up a bit.
Just embrace it. Cheer up, brother.
Turn that frown upside down.
They're polarizing.
Is that fair? Is that fair or not?
I like it. Yeah. But I'm not a music connoisseur, so I sit back when you guys start.
No, if you like a tune, you like a tune.
I like a tune. I like.
Well, they play that great, great song, Pick You Up. That's optimistic. I'll be the one to pick you up again.
But still, it's got an element
still
of
still someone's down.
When you decide you've had enough of it.
Yeah.
I'll be the one.
So, beautiful. Hey, thanks to the Trade Institute of Victoria, if you're stuck at home and haven't got much on, like most of us, now's the perfect time to upskill with Trade Institute of Victoria's remote learning. You can study towards a Certificate 4 or Diploma in Building and Construction from the comfort of your own home. Government funding available for eligible applicants. Apply online and start your pathway to become a registered builder with TIV. RTO number 21920. They are sponsoring today the replaying of the 2004 AFL Grand Final between Port Adelaide and Brisbane. The Lions going for four in a row. And it's this beauty. Alistair Lynch and Darryl Wakelin going head to head.
Oh, Lynch boxing on with Wakelin now. Watch this. It's going to develop.
2-2, 14 Lions, 3-4.
Wow, that is that's some highlights there. Some great work from BT.
Absolutely great call. I remember that. Who won that fight? Yeah, I mean that was
no one. No one land a punch.
Yeah,
Lynchy threw about 9 haymakers and didn't land one
and miss. Now, should you have been? Is this a bit sensitive for you, Joey?
A little bit.
You guys should have been.
That was the prelim. We played Port Adelaide Adelaide, where we felt that was the one that got away back
what
in
happened?
The early. Well, we were dominating the contest early. Mm. Fraser Gehry kicked his 100th goal, and the crowd all ran onto the ground.
Yep.
And it sort of halted momentum. And then from there, it was an arm wrestle. We were still in front in the last quarter until Gavin Wanganeen kicked a couple. And we had a chance in the goal square. Brent Guerra could have toe-poked the goal in the goal square, but Sean Burgoyne came from nowhere and did this smother, and Port Adelaide held on. So that was memories of that grand final.
That was the year where you guys and Geelong really emerged, didn't you?
Yeah.
To 2004, because you were the young sides definitely.
Well, we still had sprinkling of senior players that year. We sort of had still, you know, Gehrig and Harvey and Hamill and Powell and Thompson and all those older guys sprinkled in with the youngsters.
With Rewalt, Cozzy, Dal,
Ball,
Montagna on the rise. Hey, just quickly, Joey, the discussion about the football department is going to go on all season. So all footy departments being chopped to 25. Clubs currently having really difficult conversations and decisions about who keeps their job, what sort of structure you want, how many coaches, how many welfare staff, how many fitness crew, etc. Now, the big question is around whether this will affect the standard of the game. And the coaches are already talking about it. It's going to continue throughout the whole year. Do you think the standard of footy is going to drop in 2020?
Again, I don't think we can answer that, because even if the football standard does drop, how are we going to know how much of it is because of the coach's situation? How much of it is because
the
of the players?
The coaches are going to say that, aren't they?
Of course they are, but we don't know how much of the deconditioning of players in this period. We know the whole year's unique. No crowd is going to have an impact. So I don't think we can tell definitively in this season how much of an impact it has. My personal view is I think there are too many coaches in a football department. Yeah. I think that they can, you can multitask a little bit. It is overcoached. I think it is. So I don't mind trimming it back. You've just got to prioritise what you want to value, whether it's, you know, the analytics and the data and statistics, whether it's the fitness side of things, whether it's maybe more the mental part of it.
Welfare is huge.
I think development coaching can take a back seat, and assistant coaches can probably be a bit more hands-on.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
I'll be quick. The gold medal for the Give Me a Spell goes to the WA Premier, Mark McGowan, quite clearly. I mean, he gave all the Victorian players and clubs a spray for being too pampered or too soft, not wanting to come over. Mate, just ease your border restrictions. Everyone will go over. That's not that hard, is it, Joe? No, give me a spell.
That was my give me a spell too, Jay-Z, on the same page. Yeah. I know he's copped enough clips this week. We were just going to give him another little drive-by. Come on, Mark McGowan. Give us a spell.
What do you got?
Mine's a hybrid give me a spell and a Dead Set Legend of the Week. I can't decide which category this iconic AFL star falls into. It's Stevie J ordering a coffee at a van in Sydney.
From Flatweight, then click on a latte.
Who's that, mate?
No.
That's right. Stevie J puts his name down as Norm when he orders his morning coffee, which I can't decide which category that falls into. What do you think?
I thought it was great.
Good because he won the...
Yeah, he won a Norm. If you win a Norm, you can do that. Oh, so, good on him.
A true legend never lets you down, on or off the field.
Unbelievable performance here.
This is the Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
For Jack Link's beef jerky. Jack never lets you down. Find it in the snack aisle.
Just a quick one to Gil McLachlan for a wonderful job that he's done. And we spoke to Hamish earlier, who was wonderful. He said it's been the toughest period of his life getting through this. I think he's done a wonderful job. We're all excited that footy's back. I know he's still got plenty of work to do, but he looked refreshed, didn't he? The haircut and the shave, and he looked like he'd moisturised up and looked refreshed. Yeah. So, Gil McLachlan, congratulations. He's our Dead Set Legend of the Week because footy's going to be back.
That was the Dead Set Legend of the Week. Thanks to the legendary Jack Link's beef jerky. Jack never lets you down.
Well done, Joey. So today, does it look the same as every other Saturday over the last 8 weeks? Are we sitting in front of the couch having a punt and maybe a pint? Is that kind of the way things go still at the moment?
Yep. Yeah. Not much else to do. Yep.
Yep. We're going to go to my parents' place tonight for dinner. So nice. While my wife has her girls' night, I'm taking the kids to their grandparents.
Yes. I think Aaron's having a night out with a girlfriend too not a night out, going to a friend's house.
Well, you've had two already.
I have had two this week. So double that. I'll look after the little man tonight.
Exciting stuff. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Oh, what did you want, Jade? Did you want anything else?
Just saying, what are you doing?
Oh, mate, that's exactly what I'm doing. A couple of friends over this afternoon. Just enjoy it. Thanks for joining us on Triple M again. We'll be back to do it all again next week on Dead Set Legends right here on 105.1 Triple M. Hey!
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
It's fair to say it's been a great decision.
Come on, Jay-Z, you're better than that.
Is he, though? Really?
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Triple M app. Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.